You might like to turn in your Bible to where Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 3. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word in order for us to get to you with understanding more and more. So God, we're able to have this conversation, this interaction, you to us, to help us, and us to re-understand as we think and take your word and help us understand all that you have in mind. And we'll thank you very much. Even now, we think of the sick and the weak, God, and all that's happening. God, and you got to keep us well, at least healthy enough to honor you. That's what we ask. God, when it's all done, to honor you no matter. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little exercise on Wednesday, and we've been looking at the Old Testament, looking into the future, and what you would understand if you were an Old Testament believer, and you were there looking into the future, what would you see? So, being communion, and I know where we are a little bit in Joshua and all that, but in order to make the connection for Wednesday, etc., and it's communion. So therefore, in looking in the light, think of Wednesday, and the Old Testament, what do we see? And we look into the future, and we see the cross, we see tribulation, we see the kingdom, the millennium. And the last living prophet of the Old Testament is John the Baptist. Like the Apostle John is the last living apostle of the apostles. The Apostle John the Baptist is the last living prophet of the Old Testament. Now, going, and we're going to sit with John a minute so we can understand. So therefore, looking at John, John is born 6 months before our Lord. And in the process, he'll go and baptize him, chapter 3 of Matthew. And he's baptized, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And he is baptized, placed into the public ministry. He is introduced to the Jewish people. He's introduced to them by the baptism of John the Baptist. He's the right one. John the Baptist ministry was to repentance, to get your heart ready to receive Christ. That's why on the day of Pentecost, why so many got saved. They were waiting. They were ready. They were baptized. They were looking to baptism unto repentance. And here's John the Baptist and our Lord. So, and as you know, over if I can, to Matthew, that's Matthew, the introduction, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And the end, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then he's tested into the 40 days and nights into the wilderness where the devil tests him. If you're the one, and he baptized, he's the one. Then the one has to be proven. Is he the one? And the devil is allowed to test him to the nth degree for 40 days and 40 nights, like no one, maximum testing for in his perfect humanity. So here's John the Baptist, chapter 11. Now, what did John the Baptist know? He only knew what the Old Testament has said. That's all he knows. He's an Old Testament prophet. He knows the Old Testament at this point to whatever measure he did. And there he is. So he has no idea. He has no more information about the future than Daniel did in that sense, except he's introducing Christ, Christ was to be looked for, born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. And so he has no sense. So when it comes to the New Testament, when it comes to the church, zero. He knows nothing. And therefore, here he is later in prison. He's not going to get out. He's going to lose his head by way of Herod. And he's going to lose his head. And remember now, so in chapter 11, he's in prison, and he says to help us in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples," verse 3, "and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you the one? Are you the one? I pointed to you, you're the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," John 1:29. "I did this, but are you the one? What's going on? Are you run? I'm not sure," said John. So you don't have any information. No, I'm not sure he's the one. Verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, To go and show John again those things which you do and hear and see. And the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel, the good news, preached to them." Verse 6, "And by the way, you tell him, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Don't be offended. Watch how you do it, God. John, you don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. So having that in mind, keeping that in mind as you come forward, so we're entering into the New Testament, which is unheard of. Unheard of. John, you don't know. No one knows. Christ is there. Do you know there's going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? 4 windows to look at him? "No, I don't know that," said John. "I don't know that. I don't know that." So, do you know the church? No. Never heard of it. Couldn't even conceive of it. So, therefore, when we come, now, God goes and is crucified. And John the Baptist pointed to him. He wasn't sure in that sense. So, in chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, you'll remember, if you would. Now, the only sign he's going to give to the people, to the Jews especially, the only sign he's going to give them, as you know, is the empty cross and an empty tomb. That's all he's going to give them. Picking it up, chapter 12, verse 38 again. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee."
Oh, I forgot the,
where is it? I don't know. I could have more, I don't know. Didn't I? I'm sorry. I just didn't think of it. Here we go. Okay. It says the same thing. I put them on and it didn't change. The end of verse 38. We would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So the only sign he's going to give him is his resurrection. After 3 days, like Jonah was vomited out of the great fish that God made, here comes our Lord from the grave, risen on the third, after the third day. So now, the only sign I'm going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, so you know, as we did all these things, here's the 490 years, Daniel 9, literally 490 years, 483 years go by. That's the cross when Christ is crucified, and then it stops. And then there's a break. And then there's 7 more years. But the 7, you need 490 years. But you can't have the 7 years, not yet. There's a space. John the Baptist, do you know about the space? No. It's a mystery. Something wonderful is going to happen to show the grace of God in a marvelous way that is unheard of. We've said it, but it's going to come back. We've said all these things for years. But just come back and see it. You'll pick it up in the next 2 or 3, if the Lord tarries, the movement of what God is doing. How awesome is the grace of God? God giving himself to demonstrate not wrath, but grace. So therefore, picking up in mind, if I may, so here's God, the wrath of God is there waiting. What's holding the God? You're not seeing any wrath. No, you're not. Over, if you would, to Hebrews, let's do it the other way. Go back to the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. After Nahum, Habakkuk. And chapter 3, you'd remember, if you can. And Habakkuk chapter 3. And verse 2, directly. O Lord, Habakkuk, I have heard. Remember Habakkuk is in the time when Jeremiah is looking at Nebuchadnezzar coming in, and Nebuchadnezzar's taking over, and eventually he's going to knock the city down. But Habakkuk is at the beginning. Habakkuk knows what's going to happen to Israel. So therefore, what are you thinking? His terrible thing is going to happen to Israel. Nebuchadnezzar is leveling the city, the temple, and everything. O Lord, verse 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, in all that's going to take place, make known in wrath, always remember mercy. Would you please, in your wrath, would you please always remember mercy? Where are we going to be without it? Romans chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 11, and you would pick up, if I may, may go, if I can, chapter 11, picking up in verse 30. Romans 11, 30. For as ye in times past, Romans 11, 30. As you in times past have not believed God, you didn't believe, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. In other words, if they had believed, they didn't. The Jewish people, along with the Gentiles, crucified Christ. The Jews rejected him. No way is a human going to become God. And surely in no way is a human, is God going to become so related to us as Christ houses God to die and make the good news possible so that God can find his home in the heart. Never going to happen. Never. Utterly impossible. Oh, the grace of God. Hang on. Now, so therefore, mercy, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed. God, the unbelief of the Jews brings the Gentiles in. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. God's being merciful to the Jews, the only sign I'm going to do to them for all these years, I'm going to give you one only sign, is the resurrection. And I'm going to do that. And in the process, they are obtaining mercy. And thus, you are obtaining mercy. So therefore, verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and Gentile, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Or for reason, explanation, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. He starts, he makes it all go work, and he ends it. That's God. God's busy doing what he's doing in the most marvelous way. Check chapter 11, going over to chapter 11, verse 11. Chapter 11, Romans, verse 11, the context. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. In other words, is Israel out of business? No, Israel's very much in business with God. But their unbelief causes God to show his grace in a marvelous way, to bring the tribulation to pass. What's the tribulation for? To get Israel saved. 7 years of, like Deuteronomy chapter 4, they have to go through tribulation. That's the only way Israel is going to wake up. I'm going to have to do terrible things. Strange, strange judgment. They'd never heard of such things to Israel in order to save them. Now, so therefore, chapter 11, have they stumbled, etc.? Verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. For through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That's us guys. To provoke them to jealousy. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have the relationship to God that they ought to be enjoying. But you got it. But you got it way different than they would ever have it up to this point. Even in the kingdom, they will not enjoy such a relationship to God that you have. Even in the kingdom. David will never have what you have. Never.
That's what's so marvelous. God said, I'm going to do a strange thing. I'm going to show mercy. And the only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of an empty tomb. Therefore, go a little further. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, how much more when I do save them? Back chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, how much more when they get with it? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So God, what are we going to do? So here's the Jew. And while you're in Romans, remember, God always starts with those that know him the most. And then he comes down. How did he start? Where did he start the judgment? With Christ on the cross. He started the judgment there. That's where it starts. Now it's going to go. Who's the next people? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ came unto the Jews. The Jews rejected him. Romans chapter 1. Keeping in mind, if I can, and Romans in chapter 1. And you will note, Romans 1 and 16. 1 and 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why not? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks, Gentiles. Start with the Jews. Where do you admit? I went to the Jews first. Went to the Jews. That's what I did. Over, if I can, chapter 2 in Romans. And in chapter 2 in Romans, and you pick it up in verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Verse 9. Yet Jew, it starts with the Jews. That's what starts always top. So go work your way down. Work your way down. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to see that a little bit, over to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1, picking up, if I may. And you will note, John 1, and verse 10. He was in the world. This is, remember, the Word became flesh. The Lord was born in Bethlehem of Judea, etc. Chapter 1, John, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They had no sense and no understanding and no interest of God's being born in Bethlehem of Judea. No interest. Verse 11. Who did have interest? The Jews had interest. Jews to the Jews first. The Jews had interest. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. They crucified him. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to show them the only sign. I'm going to show them grace. I'm going to show them an empty cross and an empty tomb. And thus, chapter 11, chapter 1, John 1, verse 12. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wonderful God. It starts with the top. If judgment, like 1 Peter, if judgment begins at the house of God, can you imagine what it's going to be for the rest? If it starts with us guys, what's it going to be for the other guys? Now, to see that a little differently, Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And you will note, may it go directly to, in the light of it, all the wonder, it's a wonderful psalm. Psalm 115, going, if I can, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, and O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And God, then, verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children, etc., etc. So God, you're going to go. If you won't, remember our Lord said it. I have a table prepared. I died for everybody, as using that. And there's the table, and your seat's there. Your seat is marked, as it were. You haven't even been created. And you get created. There's a seat there. Seat's there for you. Yeah. I don't believe. So what are you going to say, God? He then says, you can't do quite this illustration coming, all right, but you get the idea. He says to the invitation is there for everyone to come and sit down. And then he says to his servants, go out to the street, to the highway and byway, and invite anyone. I had special for the Jews to be saved, but they didn't want that seat. So go tell anyone, whosoever would, John 1:12, as many as received him, come and sit down. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if we can, over to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians. And you'll catch it. And 1 Corinthians, if we can, chapter 1. And you will note, 1 Corinthians 1, picking up, please, in thought. May I go to verse 18, 1 and 18, and picking up if I can. And you know, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Sliding down for time's sake. Well, I don't have to go that fast, I guess. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom. And what do you know from Romans 1 and 22, 23? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what they did. The dumb world didn't understand. They rejected light and were left in darkness. So therefore, verse 20, 21. For after that of the wisdom of God, etc., the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. What do you know from Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, 39, 40? What were they asking for? Give us a sign. The Gentiles aren't asking for a sign. The Jews are asking for a sign. And the only sign I'm going to give them is an empty tomb. That's what I'm going to give. Now, what about the Gentiles? They professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, so when I read, are you going to see, God's going to help us, repeat it, lock it in. For the Jews require a sign, verse 22, the Greeks, the Gentiles, after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, foolishness. Verse 12, but unto them which is called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So therefore, God, Jew and Gentile, you're guilty as can be. You need to be saved in a most wonderful way. And God is showing his wonderful grace to save whosoever, whosoever that would believe in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And as you read, as you keep reading, God's going to take nobodies. That's right, us nobodies. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Ah, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base, lowly things of the world, the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why you put, that's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. Gone what? We're just, who are we anyway? Vessels of dust. That's what we are. Vessels of dust. To bring to what? To bring to nothing. Nothing. You aren't some king or some rich. No, no, it isn't. God looks for people that are humble themselves. What do you mean lowly? In them dwelleth no good thing. And they recognize they need to be saved. And God saves them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. They're nobodies. They have nothing. So does the world. But the world doesn't see it. The rich, the people, the high and mighty, they don't see it. So looks for people that do see it, to see their state, their miserable state that requires God's mercy. And they look for that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, of God has given us Christ, God in Christ in you. In him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God has done all of that. So having said that, therefore Paul, boy, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's right. Now, Paul, here you are in that great city of Corinth, southern Greece, southern Greece. Thessalonians is up in north. Corinth is down in the south. So, what are we doing? Paul, what are you going to do? You got the idea. What about us? Tell us about anything. No. You don't have any more. The only way I'm going to help you understand what John the Baptist didn't is because I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing. I'm going to show you the Christ that is being rejected right now, the Christ that is being put aside, the gospel, the good news that is put aside, the relationship that God has, the vine and the branch, is put aside. And God is going to show what? His marvelous grace. Now, God, since no one really wants to get it, if you really ask, put it out there. So, God, what are you going to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up, as you know. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, and he could have, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. That's all I'll tell you. You need to know him. You need to know him. You need to know him. That's all you're going to get. And that's what it's all about. So when you come to the end of 2 Corinthians, he says, examine yourself to see if Christ be in you. See if you're really saved. Now, that's all you got to do is cry, what are we doing? Communion. Do this in remembrance of me until I come. What are we saying to the world? What is the message that we show them? We don't show them the glory. We don't show them, well, boy, you'd love to have the fruit. You'd love to have all the benefits. No, you don't get the benefits. It's foolishness to you. You need to be saved. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our testimony on an ongoing basis, do this until I come in remembrance of me. You let them know. You let them know what? You attach yourself, abide, as the branch in the tree, and bear much fruit. Don't forget me. And without me, you can do nothing. Do you understand that? Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. All the while, you remember me. I remember you. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews in chapter 9. Picking up, if I may. In Hebrews 9, and picking up, to say it quickly, chapter 9, but no, we did the book of Hebrews. Chapter 9, verse 24. For reason, Christ is not entered into the holy places. Remember what you have in chapter 10. Turn your page for a minute. In chapter 10, in verse 19, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What did he do? He did what the blood of bulls and goats, chapter 10, and in verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away your sins. I had to do it. I had to do it. That's why you're saved. That's why you receive me as your Savior. And verse now 9 and 24. Well, I know we're jumping fast. Chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, of heaven itself, but into heaven itself, now to appear plain, clear, in the presence of God on our behalf. I'm remembering him, and he's remembering us before the Father. We remember him before the earth. And believers, that's what you're doing. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what you're saying. That's an awesome thing. That's all the world's going to get. That's the only sign they're going to get of a resurrected Christ that has found a home in your heart. And you have found a home in his holy, happy heaven, in many abiding places. I don't want abiding places. You found your home in Christ. Christ is in God. You found your home. You have your home smack dab in the middle of God's awesome person. That's awesome. Do this in remembrance of me here until you get there. You got it? Perhaps we could sing. We'll pray. Our Father in God, help us. Spirit of God, give us a little bit of understanding that we can know what we do, why are we doing this, and what is the purpose of it, God, that we might benefit and not just do it, but to do it with understanding, God, to understand preaching the Lord's death till the Lord come, telling the world they need, they've got a crucified Christ, an empty cross, and an empty tomb to keep so their heart doesn't have to be empty. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.